Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
At the time of watching this, Marshall's fundraiser is finished and he has completed the 100,000 steps in 24 hours.
I hope so.
But of course, I'll leave all the fundraising links below. You can still donate to the amazing cause. And yeah, on with the episode.
Faye just says to me, she's like, this is really weird. And just on like her inner thigh, there's like a lump. That moment just like changed everything. Yeah, on Wednesday, I'm doing a big fundraiser. It's called 100K for Faye, where I'll be walking 100,000 steps in 24 hours, hopefully, to raise money for Sarcoma UK.
You had a call from Robbie Williams.
Yeah, he turns the phone. He just gives me the phone. I'm like, hello, Robbie Williams.
Before we get into this week's episode, I wanted to remind you of the podcast sponsor, X-Miles. X-Miles is your one-stop shop for everything endurance-related, whether it's gels, hydration, carb mixes, anything you need to participate in endurance sport, X-Miles has. They have Cadence, obviously, who are my hydration partner. They have Morton, the gels that I've been using, and then also magnesium products as well. I've been using Pillar Performance, which they do stock on the X-Miles website. Big, big fan of that. I've also been using Pillar's creatine as well, because I've been trying to use that more frequently in my kind of like day-to-day stack. But X-Miles have given me something to give to you guys. You can get 10% credit back off your second order. So let's say you spend 20 quid on the site, you'll be able to get that 10% value off your second order. And they've also made a specialist emotional intelligence podcast pack for you using products that I use week on week. So it's got Morton gels in there, it's got Cadence electrolytes, and it's got Pillar Performance magnesium. It's literally got all the stuff that I use week on week. But check them out from the link in the description, and it's time to start the episode. Yeah, welcome, man. Thanks so much for coming on, bro.
Thank you for having me.
Mate, I have been so captivated by your incredible story, and obviously I want to talk about that today. But I just want to first start, like, I first found you years ago, yeah?
Really?
Well, I say years ago. I'm probably mean like a year.
Okay.
But you were making your weight loss TikToks.
Oh, yeah. That went well.
Mate, you made some fucking good improvements, bro.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've lost quite a bit of weight this year, but it's like, it's a fart in a hurricane, really. It's on the way, but yeah, a lot more needs to be done.
So was that the start of content creation for you?
No. I started making videos when I was about 10.
Really? Nice.
And it was borrowing my mum's phone to make FIFA pack openings, just recording the TV.
How old are you?
Now.
Yeah, you're 26. 26. Okay, yeah. So you're a couple years younger than me.
Yeah. And literally started making gaming videos. And then, my TikTok era was, at first, so before I quit my job, I used to be like a photographer, videographer, graphic designer. And I started I'd come to London with my camera, just take pictures, and then make like a TikTok video of it. But they always did quite shit. It never really worked. And then one day I saw a lot of people were doing like weight loss stuff on TikTok and I really wanted to lose weight. Mm. So I did one and the first video banged like 300K views.
Whoa.
And I was like...
Straight off the rip?
All right, yeah.
First one.
I was like, okay, cool. I can do this. And then, yeah, I just carried it on. And went from there, really.
Mate, unreal. And like when you kind of see those things on TikTok, for me anyway, I'll see someone that's going out of their way to post content, then bettering themselves.
Yeah.
It kind of lights a little fire in me watching it because I had that same thing myself where I was posting these TikToks, but wasn't necessarily targeting, like showing my improvements.
Sure.
But over time, people go, oh shit, you're actually losing weight, things like that. And you don't really give yourself the flowers for it until you look back.
No.
And I imagine a lot of lads were quite inspired by
what you were posting. Yeah, I get a lot of lads like messaging me now for so many different things that I post about.
But, for sure.
Still, one of them is always weight loss. And things like that. Being like a bigger guy. And I feel like a lot of like bigger lads like kind of cower away inside themselves because of like the maybe shame they feel about themselves or something like that. But I always am very like outgoing.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of bigger lads in that situation like that. And
yeah,
then they're like,
sure.
Oh, you know, you give me, you know, the confidence that I don't have to be quiet. I can be loud. I can bang a joke, like that sort of thing. So in terms of actual losing weight and inspiring people, I'm not doing the best, but
inspiring people, bro. The whole thing you said there about sort of being funny and cracking a joke.
Yeah.
It's such a common thing. Like sometimes when you feel a level of insecurity, and I've been there before, where you feel kind of like you want to nip at the jokes before other people nip there first.
Oh yeah, you got to get there first.
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah.
You have to. Yeah.
It is super interesting. But look, Marshall, you've obviously been creating content for quite some time now.
Yeah.
But over the last year, a lot of people would have come to see your content.
Yes.
Due to an incredibly sad part of your life, which unfolded.
Yeah.
You just explain to everyone what's kind of been going on over the last 10 months for yourself.
Ooh.
Well, let's go further back than that, like a year, I'd say.
So just the whole story with
everything,
Faye and everything.
Man.
So... you know, it's such a hard question because it's so like, where do you even start?
Well, let's start from the top then. How did you and Faye meet?
Oh God, okay. So I was 20. So this was back in 2019. Mm-hmm. Faye was 19. And I was working security at the time, like private security, one of many jobs I've had.
So you like outside clubs or?
No, this was private. So it was like at a residence, at a house. Like on land, and I used to do the patrols and shit like that. It was a long shift. It was 7 p.m. till 7 a.m. And I used to just watch Netflix and just get paid for it. So that was
really?
Yeah. But it must have been like 2 a.m. and my phone like pinged off and I get like a like on an Instagram picture from this girl. And I'm like, okay, cool. And she likes another one. And I'm like, oh, it's a bit weird because these are my old pictures. So I have a look. I'm like, oh, do you know what? Yeah, bit of me. So that's fine. So I like two back. And then we just follow each other and, yeah, we just start talking DMs. And this was like, 2019 December. So coming up to 6 years ago.
Mad.
I know.
And then, so you started talking from there. And did you guys have any mutual friends? Were you from the same area? Or?
Well, so we were from the same area. We lived a couple of hundred meters apart on different sides of traffic lights, but we never met each other. And our dads went to school together. Went on holiday together when they were lads.
No way.
And we just didn't know each other.
Really?
Yeah, and then one day we just found each other. The first time I met Faye's dad, he was like, oh, how's your dad? I was just like, this is so weird.
That's jokes.
Yeah, so it's just like, I kind of spoke about it like later at like in my eulogy for her, but I feel like there was always this like invisible thread just between us that was just waiting for the right time, and that was it.
Yeah, sometimes in life there's people that come along, aren't there, that you have no reason to bump into them or meet them. But then once you do, you kind of unravel that almost a kind of web of links.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's crazy.
It's like it's meant to be.
Yeah. So obviously you guys got together when you were 20, she was 19.
Yeah.
And you were together for 6 years.
5 years, 7 days.
Okay.
To be like dead on. But yeah, I mean, good relationship, like amazing. Mm. My first like proper deep relationship. And then, dates. Okay. So April 2023, we're just like laying in bed at my mum's house, like any other Saturday, Sunday morning. And Faye just says to me, she's like, this, like, feel this really weird. And just on like her inner thigh, there's like a lump and it's like the size of like, I don't know, like a 20p. And it's like deep under the skin. Well, that's fucking weird. I mean, instantly, when you feel something like that, that's what you think of straight away.
Yeah.
Cancer.
Yeah.
But you kind of don't want to say it. And we kind of like play it off like, oh, that's fucking weird. Like, we should probably go and get that checked out. And she did. And she went to go get it checked out. And the doctor said to her, you know, you're young, healthy, don't worry about it. It's absolutely fine. Don't worry about it. It's probably just like a growth or, I don't know, something. Don't worry about it. But like the type of woman Faye was, she just weren't having it. So she just kept going back because this thing was growing. It went from the size of like a 20p to I think it was about 8 or 9 centimeters.
Whoa.
Like protruding out of her thigh. And yeah, then it comes around to August. They call her up while she's at work and they're like, yeah, you've got cancer. And that's like one of the moments, like it's weird. I forget about it, but I will never forget about it.
Mm.
Like, it's just there. That moment just like changed everything.
And where were you when she told you?
Like, she called me crying and I had just left work, was walking to get the bus. And I'm just like, what the fuck?
In that moment, do you have to try and be strong or do you have to be, can you be vulnerable with them?
I think you can be vulnerable, but definitely the approach I took was, this terrifies me. How much must this terrify her?
Yeah.
So let's be there for her now. And then when we're off the phone, I'll take a minute.
Yeah.
I'll, you know, adjust. But I think definitely my approach for the whole thing was always looking after her.
Yeah.
And just making sure she was, you know, looked after as best as possible.
Are you as a person a bit of a worrier? Because if I was to put myself in your position, like if from that call, I almost feel like I would have freaked out more than the person calling me.
Yeah. Yeah, I am. I worry about everything all the time. I'm an overthinker massively. Like she gets off the phone to go and like talk to her parents and I'm like on the bus, like Googling, how do I cure cancer? Like stuff like that. Like I'm like, what the fuck can I do? Massively.
Yeah, I kind of like, I don't know about you, I feel a lot of lads have this same common trait that runs through so many of us, particularly ones that maybe aren't as secure, like in terms of, you know, they're a bit more insecure as people. Because I've like always been I would say now I'm a secure person, but I definitely growing up was always just an insecure lad.
Yeah.
I've always had that kind of hypochondriac trait to me. I feel like there's kind of, if you're someone that maybe doubts themselves a little bit or puts a lot of pressure on themselves, there's always seems to be that overthinking, worrying trait to them.
And I think it builds you really well as a character. If you've been insecure and now you're more secure,
You
know both sides of the coin.
For sure.
I think that builds like a very well-rounded character. I've always been very insecure like my whole life. I still am now. In certain ways, I'm not. And a lot of that is thanks to Faye. And like what I do in making videos, and it gives me a sense of confidence and things like that. But I've always been very sort of like insecure and worried about everything. And that moment was absolutely no different. It was, I'd say, like, if I think back to it, it's like it was the start of the end. And that whole chapter was just like, it's such a blur, but I also remember every minute detail.
Yeah.
It's really weird to like wrap your head around it.
Yeah, I can imagine it almost like everything kind of would stand still in that moment when you find out that news.
Yeah.
Did you do anything immediately that almost helped you deal with the situation? Did you brush it off? Did you kind of have that mindset of like, oh, the chances of it being bad are, you know?
Yeah. I think I was like reassuring her in the sense of to make myself feel better.
Yeah.
And to like protect myself in my headspace, also her, but myself as well, just because it's scary to hear them words. And, you know, the second you hear something like that and the person you're with, it's just like everything is just like balancing. And it's like, well, I think all of us, we are all just one accident, one bad phone call, one diagnosis away from like a completely different life.
Mm.
And it could go at any minute, right now, in 5 minutes, tonight. And when that happens, it's just like,
it is a bit mental, isn't it, when you think about it? Like, when Jota died in that car crash, I was thinking about how his family probably were like, last time they spoke to him on the phone, they would have no idea.
No.
A one in a million idea that something like that was about to happen. Yeah. And everything's just gone.
Yeah.
Like, he got married a week before.
I know, crazy.
And it's almost like that. So without being too kind of depressing on the situation, it's almost like there's, I don't want to say like life's too short sort of thing.
Yeah.
But there is that whole thing of you kind of need to treat every day like it's your last. It puts it into perspective. Did it teach you?
Yeah, it does now. So like, we're jumping forward in the story.
Yeah, we are.
Since she passed, it's like now now that's what I do every single day. Whether I'm just going away with someone or going away on my own, just always trying to find something to do because I don't want to sit around and waste my time.
So obviously for people watching and listening that kind of know the story through the guise of social media and through you posting quite short form content, but what's the kind of timeline? So you find out the devastating news and then how long is it then before, you know, things start to really progress for you and you have to really make big decisions?
Yeah. So this was August 2023. This is where we find out it's cancer. And then I think going into Christmas that year, she does some radiotherapy just on the area. Well, she has it, the lump removed, surgically removed, and then they do radiotherapy on the area just to kill any sort of cells around it, any sort of spread, anything like that. So that was December 2023. And then we went into Christmas, not knowing that would be our last Christmas together. Had a, you know, a good Christmas, as good as you can.
Was she improving in this time?
Well, she was having radiotherapy. So she was like blistering on the skin and things like that. But, you know, I kind of think we felt a bit better knowing that it's out and it's being treated. The treatment is done. So, you know, I'd say over Christmas, you start to feel a bit better. And then going into January, it just got really bad. And she just felt horrible all the time. She'd sleep for 12 hours, be absolutely knackered. So many things, just no energy. And we had her 3-month checkup after December. So it was March. We were just so like positive. We were like, this is, you know, you've done it. You've done the hard part. When this comes back, you know, we've been together 5 years this year. Let's have a baby. Let's do all this. Really excited. We just moved out to our first house that January. And then she went to the appointment. She never used to let me go to the appointments, the big ones, because she used to want to protect me. And she'd come back and tell me herself.
So Doesn't that just show the sort of person that she was? The fact that with all the shit she was going through, she was trying to protect you.
And I used to get so mad at her. It's like, fucking hell, why? Why can't I go?
Like, with all due respect, Marshall, the least of her worries should have been how 100%. You're going to take it.
100%, yeah.
Yeah.
I just wanted to, you know, I used to get annoyed at the time. I used to be like, I just want to be there, you know, hold your hand, you know, just support you.
Yeah.
But she used to go with like her mum and her dad because she'd like to come back and tell me in her own words. Well, you can imagine this one, it's the checkup, it's a big one. I'm sat there at home. I think I took the day off work. I was just like, I can't,
you can't focus on anything.
And then like, she's been a bit longer and I'm like, oh, fucking hell, you know, it's a bit, don't know what to think. Maybe I'm just overthinking it. You know, it's fine. It's fine until it's not fine. Just relax. And then she came back with her mum and they came in. This moment is like scarred in my head,
etched
big time. And her mum sat to the right of me on the sofa. Faye pulled like the footstool in front of me and she just sat in front of me and she was like, it's terminal and it's spread to it's fucking hell.
Oh bro, nah,
sure,
take your time, man. It's one of them moments where you kind of, everything stood still and you remember that was the moment where you found out.
Yeah. And she said, it spread to 12 places. No, this was towards the end. I think she had, it spread to her lungs and there were 7 tumors in her lungs. And they're basically like, you've got 18 months. I usually don't get upset when I talk about that moment, but it's just, it was like, it was the start of the end. And now when I think about it, I started grieving from that moment, like subconsciously in the back.
Yeah.
And I just remember looking at her in that moment and like nothing else was there. It was like, she was fucking PNG on Photoshop. She was just cut out and there was nothing else.
Transparent background.
Yeah, there was no living room. Her mum wasn't there. And it was just like, so focused, but the lights were on and no one was home. I was just like, absolutely just taken. And
do you, in that moment, man, obviously you look back on it with real upset, but do you look at in those moments, do you look at it with anger? Did your brain immediately go to why her, why the person that I love?
Yeah, or? I used to feel a lot of that, you know, like why her, why, and also like why me, why my girlfriend?
Yeah.
And why my partner? You know, I haven't done anything wrong. She hasn't done anything wrong. This is so unfair. A lot of that, I'm filled with a lot of that. And but when I, like I say, when I think back to that moment, that was, you know, the start of the end. And it was tough, but now I'm in a place where I can think back and I'm like, do you know what? It was actually the start of the end, but from that day on, we never took anything for granted ever again.
Mm.
Every single second, every minute. I think we might have argued like once in the next like almost a year. You know, we just, it was not worth it.
Yeah. And everything gets put into perspective a bit in that, it does, in that moment.
It does. And suddenly, you know, I heard this quote before. It's like you can have hundreds of problems in life, but the second you have one health problem, that's the only problem you have.
Mm.
And it is true. Like so many things I worry about, like work or money or things like that, I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I really don't. You know, like my mates, oh, do you want to come on PS? No, I don't. Mm. I've got somewhere I want to be. And I'm going to be there.
Yeah. It's so interesting hearing how obviously everything closed around you in that moment.
Yeah.
When you found the news. Did you, from that point, have a mission? Did you say to Faye, did you go, right, now we know this news, yeah, we're going to build a plan?
Yeah.
Or was it very much just like, let's continue life as normal, but look at it with a new perspective?
No, it was, let's go. Let's do it. Let's go. So we found that out and that she needed to start chemotherapy in like the very first few days of April. So a couple of days later, we booked to go to Mexico for 2 weeks. Shout out to Faye's dad. We didn't have the money to do it at the time, but we were told this would be her last ever holiday. So he helped us out and paid for us to go to Mexico.
Mm.
But before I went, I asked her parents if it was okay to propose to her. And
amazing, man.
I asked her to marry me and she said yes, obviously. Why
Thank
wouldn't she?
Thank God.
Yeah. And then, yeah, just from there, obviously we came back.
Yeah.
The chemo started and that's very taxing in mm-hmm. itself. But I would say like that last, well, in March, they told her she had 18 months. She lived 10 from that moment.
Yeah.
Because it got worse and worse. But in that last year of her life, we did more than we did in the other 4 years combined. Mm. Easily the amount of things we did, whether it was going somewhere or just living in other ways and just spending time together and doing that. So in a sense, I have no regrets.
That's amazing.
And I thought I would. Mm. But I really just threw everything away. Like I stopped going to the gym, I stopped hanging around my friends, I stopped playing my PlayStation for hours in the night. I really just got my priorities straight and spent every minute with her. And I'm so glad I did, because now I don't feel like a feeling that I think a lot of people feel, especially like the Jota thing, where it's so out of nowhere. You're like, oh, I wish I told them I love them more, or wish I did that more. I did that. So yeah. I feel like quite content with that.
When you mentioned her mum and dad,
yes,
and how they bought you the holiday.
Yes.
How did your relationship with them change from that point? Because obviously you've obviously got a partner that's got terminal cancer, but they've also got a daughter that's got terminal cancer. How do you deal with that situation?
Well, it's tough for any type of parent, but she was also an only child.
Oh, man.
So it's like, yeah, that's
Fuck.
So rough. We really had to like come together and like we made like our own group chat and everything, and we had to like be such a team. But it was so hard on them, of course. Like her dad and the way he deals with things, and her mum and the way she deals with things. It's just, I used to say to them, like, even though I feel bad, like my partner is dying like of cancer, I will never understand, hopefully, what it's like to have a child that you're going to lose to cancer.
Yeah.
And I just can't imagine.
Well, it's with parents as well. Like when they lose a child, you hear stories, and I've seen people who have lost a child and how it can almost just completely destroy a family.
Yeah.
Because let's say in this situation, the dad takes it really badly and goes off the rails.
Yeah.
That's then a taxing part on the mum.
Of course.
You've then got all of the family kind of just disbanded at that point, not together as a team. Was there a kind of clear plan from the three of you?
Sort of. So like Faye's parents weren't together anymore. They had their own partners. So they all cared for them in different ways and they were all amazing. I think it took like a real effort from everyone to keep like us three. So me, Faye's mum and Faye's dad. It took a massive effort from everyone around us to keep us in like our A game to be there for Faye. Mm-hmm. So like, I think without everyone, it would have been a lot worse.
Yeah.
But we all sort of, just really came together and I'm really proud of Faye's mum and Faye's dad. And I could not have been the partner I was for Faye without them. The type of person Faye was, she was very outspoken.
Yeah,
very,
I love that.
So she's just a bitch about my mum to me all the time. Like, get your mum to do this. And I'll be like, yeah, mum, can Faye stay over, please? Like,
yeah. Mate, it's so true, though. Every relationship has this. And I think it's like, have you got siblings?
I'm one of four.
You're one of four. So like, I imagine a mother and son relationship is so tight knit. Well, not for everyone, but
no.
It's so tight knit. When you've got a girlfriend that comes in, like I grew up in a house.
Moro Casino. Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
It's for the girls, like my mum and dad broke up and it was me, my sister and mum that lived together. Yeah. And it was always a case of like, I was the man of the house, you know? And then when Izzy come into our lives, it was very much like, my mum's amazing. Like, don't get me wrong. And she loves Izzy to death. Yeah. But it was always like, I could tell my mum was just a bit sort of like, oh, there's another woman coming into my son's life. And she is now the priority to him.
Yeah.
And it actually does take a lot for the mum to be like, okay, I've got to just let this go.
Yeah. Mum was a bit like, who the fuck is that?
But mate, look, okay, so obviously I don't want us to dwell too much on the sad elements of the loss.
But
obviously, unfortunately, you did lose Faye towards the back end of 2024.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that. Did you see, obviously you saw it coming because you got given the timeline, essentially.
Well, so like I say, in March we were told 18 months. So I think that worked out to be, it was going to be about June 2025. So, you know, we thought we'd have one more Christmas. We didn't. She passed away at 9 p.m. on the 21st of December, just 4 days before Christmas, which was fucking shit anyway, but it was her favorite time of year and it's approaching again now and I'm like sort of dreading it. But yeah, so towards the end she really deteriorated, and what went from the 7 tumors spread out in her lungs, one of her lungs basically became a tumor because the tumor grew to the entire size of the lung.
Wow.
And I think at the time she had passed, it spread to 12 places in her body, including her brain. Like in October, she had two brain tumors. One was affecting her speech, so she couldn't talk, and one was affecting her right side of her body. She had surgery, and then like an hour later, she was on FaceTime. I'm like, Marsh, can you come and bring me snacks? I'm like, yeah, okay. She like just bounced back from it straight away. She was amazing. Proper trooper. But unfortunately, it really took over. And them last days were probably the hardest thing I've ever experienced in my life, because obviously me, FaZe Mum and FaZe Dad, we were all very in it together. I used to say I was on the front lines because we lived together, just me and Faye, and the things I would see, they'll stay with me forever. Like I said, because of the ones in the brain, she was having seizures and things at home. And I remember when I first found out she had like a brain tumor, I was on YouTube, like researching how to help someone who's like having a seizure, because I was trying to be as good as possible. But yeah, then we took her to the hospital after like not sleeping for 3 days at this point. She was in so much pain. And when I got there to go and see her, they were like, yeah, she's not going to come back out now. Like, mm-hmm. we're going to take her down to the hospice. And she was in a hospice for 2 days, which is, I think, a blessing, because I've heard of other people that have been in like hospice for like weeks at a time.
The idea of a hospice is very, very harrowing.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, a hospice is essentially an end of life hospital.
Yeah.
Would you describe it? It's a lot more comfortable for the patients.
You're not going to come back out, basically. Yeah. But it's more like, really like meant to be a home. And we were like allowed to bring mine and Faye's dog in, and she was allowed to be there and things like that. But it was a very hard moment, but also like very special and like mm-hmm. a real honor. And some moments there, just like that'll be with me forever, 100%.
Yeah, I bet, man. When you talk about how the October when she had the brain operation,
yeah.
and she was like bounced back instantly. You talk about her strength. I obviously, she's probably an incredibly strong person in her own right.
Yeah.
But that strength to me, what she said to you there, sounds like it's come as well from your relationship and the strength that you've provided her.
Yeah.
Because without, I feel like, a good partner, you're not going to have that same self-belief. And I'm of genuine opinion that the person you're with, and if it's the right person, will give as much to you as you give to them.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
It sounds to me like you both gave each other so much. And from that interaction there, the strength that you gave her in that period of life, whether it's from a deep-rooted part of you, what you've learned growing up, you still gave it to her, man, and you made sure the end of her life was as amazing as it could be.
Don't praise me.
Genuinely, bro, like I mean it, because I feel like all of this stuff online, you sharing your story online, which has probably benefited so many lads. I don't think you realize this, how many blokes probably watching it, and as well, like, we'll get onto Mr. Bruv's situation, but him sharing his situation as well, like, I don't think people realize how blokes in their mid to late 20s don't really understand how to deal with like trauma.
No,
especially when you didn't have
time for it as well.
Exactly. Yeah. You're in your pomp, you're in your part of your life where you should be progressing in your career, you should be working out what you want to do for your life, you know, finding your forever person, potentially building a family, going through all these massive decisions in your life, and something like that just completely snaps you you know, from underneath. And to have someone like, if I was going through something like this, to have someone like yourself online to look at and go, look, he's a prime fucking example of how you can do it and how you can be okay.
Yeah,
I think you just need to remember that, man.
I appreciate it. I don't take well to praise. I'm not used to it. It goes one or two ways. I'll cry or I'll just like tell you to fuck off.
Yeah, no,
I appreciate
mate,
it.
We're all shit at it though. Yeah. If someone praises you, you're just like, oh, fuck off, mate. Yeah. Like, cool.
Yeah.
I think it's just the way we're wired. And I think, I almost feel it's the best part about being a bloke is you kind of know how the other person's going to react when you say something nice, you know?
Yeah.
Telling your mates you love them. It's just like, sometimes it's like amazing. Oh, I love you too, bro. Or sometimes it's just like, just fuck off.
Yeah, so sometimes you'll get that one mate, you're just like, gay.
Oh, mate. So, okay, right. So obviously, you lost Faye in December of 2024.
Yep.
And this week, you have an incredible fundraiser coming up.
Yeah, this is the whole reason why I'm on a podcast about this.
Exactly. Yeah. So, well, no, actually, though, you know what? I think when I started this this podcast, obviously, for those who don't know, I obviously rebranded it from Podcast to Emotional Intelligence.
Yeah.
When I was doing the rebrand, I was like, right, what are the two themes that I care most passionately about? And those are, you know, motion-based activities, running, endurance sport, all of that sort of stuff. And also mental health and, you know, talking about how you feel, talking about what it's like, whether it to be a man, whatever. I don't want it to be gender specific, but just going deeper into what we think about.
Yep.
And I thought Ogre's a quite a nice name. It encapsulates everything.
Makes sense, yeah.
But you are doing essentially both parts here.
Yeah.
You are digging deep into your kind of your traumatic experience and going to do something amazing and raise some money for it. So explain to everyone what you're doing.
Yeah, I'm glad we're finally getting onto it, because a lot of people are going to be like, why is there a fat guy on a running podcast?
I know what you mean, bro. It's not like that, man.
So yeah, so on Wednesday...
Don't call yourself fat as well. That's banned from this room.
Right. Okay, it's true, but fine. On Wednesday, I'm doing a big fundraiser. It's called 100K for Faye, where I'll be walking 100,000 steps in 24 hours, hopefully, to raise money for Sarcoma UK, which is the type of cancer that Faye had. Really under-researched, underfunded. I feel like we hear that a lot about charities, but this one, the cancer is becoming so common in young people. And if you get it, it's basically... you're fucked, pretty much. Like, it's got such a high mortality rate. I do know one guy who has actually recently beaten it, that I follow on TikTok.
Wow.
And he's coming to the fundraiser.
Sick.
I've asked
him
to come on and be my last guest.
That is wicked, man.
But yeah, just...
What's his name, sorry?
Dio, yeah. And I saw loads of his videos throughout the time of, like, the past year when I'm grieving. And I thought it'd make me feel a bit weird to see someone...
who survived it.
...going through it, but... yeah, I thought I'd feel like a bit like, oh, what does this fucking guy get to live and Faye didn't? But
yeah,
it was really the opposite. And I was That's just good. Like, I fucking love this guy.
Yeah.
Like, all the best, honestly.
Oh,
like,
shout out Dio, man.
Yeah, man. 100%. I'm looking forward to having him come on. He's just beat it and had had surgery to remove it, because this type of cancer, it can be soft tissue or bone. And his was in his bone and in his mouth. So he had like a big mass growing from his mouth, which really deformed the front of his face. But he's just had it removed. He's been healing up. And I've said, let's do it, mate. Come on.
So can you just explain, because I don't know much about this type of cancer.
Yeah.
What is it exactly?
So I'm not going to define it, because I don't know, like, properly how. I don't want to say
in,
some
in
shit.
Layman's bloke's terms.
It's not correct. So it's like a soft tissue or bone cancer.
Okay.
It's got, like, loads of different types. And them types have, like, over 100 subtypes. Phase one was so rare that they were never able to, like, categorize it.
Okay.
They were never be able to, like, oh, it's this one. No, there's so many different types. And yeah, unfortunately, it's becoming really common in younger adults and children.
Shit, man. It's just, it. You know what it is? It's like, I very much, again, we're going back to that overthinking thing.
Yep.
I always hear stories, and I'll then hear a story, you know, let's say it's like Faye's, and then I'll constantly overthink and just, like, feel parts of my body and just be like, right, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like, what's it? There's a word for it. It's like health anxiety.
Yeah, the health anxiety.
That is real.
I just wanted to quickly touch on this because, again, on that health anxiety thing, after all the stuff happened with Mr. Bruv and Faye, I'm just a constant overthinker about like random chest pains and stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah, so for those who don't know, Mr. Bruv at the moment, he has been sharing on social media because his girlfriend Faye had a sudden heart attack when they were in Paris.
Yeah.
Essentially has been in hospital sort of ever since with heart issues. Have you spoken to him at all?
Yeah, so, you know, whenever I see people going through some shit online, I feel like I am, what's the word, obliged to, like, reach out or show love, because obviously I did that, and the amount of love I received really, really carried me over the line. And the way, like, Faye gave me permission to share her story as a way for me to express myself, because I've always been a creative guy, and to seek support. And that's why I did it. So I even said in my eulogy for Faye that, you know, love can't cure everything, but it can carry you through everything. And that love that I received, like, genuinely, it's like changed my life and made me appreciate so many things. So when I see something like that going on, I feel like I want to give some love, because I know everyone's different, but it might help a little bit. So I've been, like, messaging here and there, leaving comments, but then, like, recently when it's got really bad for them too, shout out them too, by the way.
Yeah, honestly, good. Like, Faye, like, is fighting like crazy.
Yeah.
And it's been it's been hard to see what he's been going through. Obviously, she as well.
Yeah.
But what they've both been going through, as I think there's a lot of people online that follow people, and I always look to them. I've known Albie for quite a while now, and like they're as a couple are two people that have always looked quite aspirational. Yeah. And in terms of like, you know, they've got this amazing love story.
Happy.
They're so happy,
they
man.
Happy.
They're
That's
two cool
is.
People.
It's not possessions. It's not anything. It's these guys just seem happy.
They just love each other, man. And
who doesn't want that?
No, exactly. Yeah. And there's like there's so much aspiration to the life and the content that they share. Yeah. And then people online see the hardship of what they're going through. And it is almost a bit kind of like, well, this doesn't seem right. Because they shouldn't have to go through that. Do you know what I'm saying? So yeah, shout out to you two, man, because keep fighting.
I've been speaking to him a lot, like in DMs at the moment, like voice noting. I gave him my number. I said, literally, mate, any minute of the day, just give me a call.
Mm.
Because, do you know what? We messaged and we're like, the similarities are not, like, they're not forgotten. Like, both got a partner named Faye who's unwell.
That's crazy,
that
by the
sort
way.
Of thing.
Yeah.
And I left like a comment on one of his videos and I was like, it seems like the Fays are just the strongest fucking people. Mm. And then he replied, like, I think their partners are too. So I invited him to come on my fundraiser, but I said at the time of inviting him, I was like, you really do have bigger fish to fry.
Yeah.
Be with Faye. You two can watch. I'll give a shout out while we're going.
Yeah.
But yeah, honestly, I wish him... Sorry.
I was like, don't start fucking crying.
No, about... like an in-breath. It was like a coffee in-breath. I don't know what happened.
It's all right, coffee, to be fair, isn't it?
It's banging, yeah. No, I was going to say, honestly, I just wish them all the best.
Yeah.
And I hope things get a bit brighter.
Mate, and look, I'm sure I'll keep fighting and keep going.
Yeah.
With the fundraiser, you mentioned a few guests that are coming on.
Yeah.
The plan is 6 p.m. on Wednesday to 6 p.m. on Thursday to complete the 100K.
Well, so the stream will start at 6 p.m.
Okay.
And I'll probably start walking about 6:30.
Yep.
I'll have an intro. There's some sponsors to give shout outs to.
Where are you streaming it?
So it's at Connect Offices.
As in like what platforms are you?
Oh, so I am streaming to YouTube and TikTok.
Cool.
So yeah, the first half an hour will just be like getting gas, getting on there, getting fucking ready.
Yeah.
And then I guess about 6:30 we'll start. And from then it'll be 24 hours until I've got to complete it.
And you're doing this on a walking treadmill, correct?
Yes. Yeah. We've just had them delivered today.
Sick.
Two treadmills, like top of the range ones.
Nice.
And yeah, on treadmills. So there'll be two treadmills. I'll be doing the first 10K on my own to start it off and like, you know, a bit of foreplay, get going.
And then, just tease everyone a little bit.
Just edge everyone until the interesting people come on. And then,
this is a no gooning zone.
I didn't say that.
My words, not yours.
Yes. And then, yeah, for every 10K after that, we've got different guests coming who will be on a second treadmill next to me, which will be chatting, talking.
Kind of like a mini kind of interview vibe. Sort
yeah,
of.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, sick.
Yeah, my throat is going to be... Whoa. I was going to say, my voice is going to be gone. But I said throat. So, yeah, that's crazy. Cut that.
That is not getting cut.
Great.
Keep that in.
Great.
But no, so who's the current lineup? I'm coming on at 10 a.m. on Thursday.
Yeah, so everything's super last minute. Some people, I'm still waiting for them to reply. But at the moment, some of the names we've got yourself. We've got Rufus Rice. We've got AB.
Nice.
We've got a lad called the Jim Reaper.
I know him, yeah.
Very big, strong boy.
strong lad.
I had another guy actually message me yesterday. His name's Henry Moores.
Henry Moores, yeah. He's the guy that walked from...
Ibiza Flip Flops guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to come. And then waiting on some other people. Window Kid.
Sick.
Didn't even mention him. What a guy. So yeah, it's going to be stacked. And hopefully... there might be some other secret people that were going to let me know last minute.
And you're doing it at Connect Offices.
Yes.
Which is, I literally have just joined your management.
Welcome.
Yeah.
Welcome
Thank
to the
you,
family.
Brother.
Yeah.
And you're doing it in like the kind of games room bit, aren't you?
Yeah, they're cleaning the whole thing out.
Amazing.
And I've got loads of equipment coming
Wicked.
And arriving. I'm literally going to be there tomorrow setting up. We've got like a videographer coming to film like a whole behind the scenes.
Wicked.
Yeah, and I think we might even be doing a live radio check-ins while we're going as well. But it's going to be a good laugh. You know, like here we've spoken about the whole thing with Faye, and this is for Faye. But the live stream is not going to be me crying for 24 hours. I ain't got that in the locker. It's going to be like...
That's a lot of sodium loss.
Yeah, fuck me. It's just going to be a laugh. You know, people come on, just like how having a chat, how we are now. It's just... I'm looking forward to it, but I'm nervous. I'm nervous at the scale of the challenge.
Yeah, I think you'll really surprise yourself, though.
Yeah.
I think you really will. And this is a genuine possibility, I'm not being funny, that you finish before the 24 hours.
I hope so.
What happens, say, if you finish at like 3 p.m. on the Thursday? Is it end then? Or you can just keep going, see how far you can walk?
No, I'm not
going
to fucking... You'll just get extra ones in the bank. Second I hit that, I'm done. No, fuck that. No.
All right, okay.
I'll sit down and chat, yeah.
So, in terms of money raised, you have been putting on your story some crazy figures so far.
Yeah, so the initial goal was 10 grand. I was on like a Zoom call with the charity and my management, and they were like, how much do you want to raise? And I was like, oh, this is really awkward to say, but 10 grand. I was like, sort of like a bit shy to say it. And they all started laughing. I'm like, why are you laughing? They were like, yeah, that's not going to be a problem. But like in my head, like 10 grand was like ridiculous. Like no way are we going to do that. I'm going to be begging for galaxies on TikTok just to get across the line.
Cheers for the roses there.
Yeah, cheers for the roses there. But no, I set the goal as 10. And I think on, what day is it? It's, what day is it today? Monday.
It's a Monday.
Yeah. I never know what day it is anymore. Just fun employees.
You know, that's the creative lifestyle,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no Sunday scaries around here.
I'm like to my mate, what are you doing later? I'm at work. I'm like, weirdo. What fucking weirdo?
My mates chatting in our group chat this morning, just arguing about the football, because like most of my mates are Arsenal fans, and there's one Liverpool fan in our group chat, and he was just giving them shit, and they were both saying, oh, it's good to see we're all taking the anxiety of Monday out on each other. Yeah. And I was just there sat in bed.
But we're late.
I was like, nah, I'm a bum, mate, not me.
What's the saying? I forgot.
I don't know.
Money raised.
Yeah.
So, I think on Thursday I was at 6.9K raised, and I was like, fuck me, I might actually do 10K. Like,
before it starts. Yeah.
This is crazy. And then I posted a video, and...
Which, by the way, has gone so fucking viral.
Yeah.
I reposted it and I'm getting constant peppering notifications of people liking my repost. It's crazy.
It's the Pappy effect.
It's the big Pappy sauce.
Yeah. Sorry, mate. But no, so that's what I'm saying. So what I used to do before I did this was I used to be a videographer, a video editor. So I feel like I've got a really good talent at making videos that are going to make people cry or like evoke emotion from people. And I heard that song that was playing. It's from like a film called Sinners, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, I had a vision and I just made the video. And in the video is a clip from Faye, from a video she left me, kind of like Afterlife. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
I found a folder of about 200 to 300 videos from Faye that she'd left for me and like for family members and things like that.
Wow.
Where did
you find it, by the way?
Well, I didn't know about it at first. And then it was a week before she died, literally 7 days. It was our 5-year anniversary. And she got me a Christmas card and she was like, I'm going to read it to you now, even though it's not Christmas yet, just in case. And she was like, I've also recorded myself reading it to you in case I don't make it to Christmas. Which, you know, like hearing a sentence like that come from someone, that's so like harrowing, right? Mm. But that was just normal at this point. We had to have such like heartbreaking conversations on like a day-to-day basis. But like when I think back to it now, I'm like, that's actually mad that we were talking about things like that. But she said, yeah, if I don't make it to Christmas, go on my phone and there's a folder and I've been recording videos for you to watch for when I'm gone. And I've watched most of them. So like I literally, the night she died, I went home. I was the last person to leave the hospice. I drove back like an hour from Oxford. And it was just like the weirdest thing, going back into our house that we'd just moved into. And it's just like, I remember I stood outside the front door for 10 minutes. I just couldn't go in.
Yeah.
I was, she was going to be in there. I got you. But no, I don't know what it was.
Bro, I was genuinely thinking this, like when you leave a situation like that and you've made this journey so many times to go visit her, but you're making that final journey when you know you're not going to have to go back there again. What's that feeling like? Can you remember that car journey, what you were thinking about?
Well, like... So when someone dies in a hospice, I think you have about 4 hours until you have to leave. So we stayed the entire 4 hours, and obviously it was very hard for people to leave. I think I just went into what I'd been doing for the years before that, when I was looking after Faye. I turned into the carer for everyone else, so like her mum and things like that. It was just such a difficult moment. And I remember getting in the car, and I was just like, I was high, if that makes sense. I was just like...
Sort of like a ringing of your ears.
But I got in the car, and like I say, it was 4 days before Christmas, our favourite time. You know, we always did Winter Wonderland, all these things together. And I put on the radio, and it was just Christmas music. And I remember I just blasted it as loud as my speakers could go. And this still freaks me out that I did this. I laughed and I smiled and I was happy. And I was happy that it was over for her, because the pain that I witnessed, it's like inhuman. Mm. And that one fucking song, you know, the Pogues one.
I knew you were going to say that for some reason.
That came on the radio, and I was like driving down like the M40, and I was like, why is everything blurry? I'm just like crying my eyes out. And that comes on, but I was just like, I was talking to her in like a weird way. And I was just like, you know, you did it. I'm so fucking proud of you. Like, you got over the line. There's no more pain. There's no more, none of this. And I was just relieved for her, which I didn't expect. I thought, don't get me wrong, since then I've been an absolute broken mess. But in that moment, I was just like, I'm so glad it's over for her. Not for me, but I was just thinking about her. She doesn't have to go through that shit anymore.
I guess that's the only way you really can think to kind of heal in that immediate, because you're thinking about the benefit of it. You're trying to clutch onto
anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any reason not to just...
Can I ask something?
Yeah.
When you're in that situation, as you said, like Christmas music was playing, how do you comprehend that life is going on normally around something so traumatic as that? Because I always think about this. If someone's lost someone, and you'll hear this, a friend of mine recently was opening up about how his ex sadly took her own life, she was like heavily involved with his business.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited, no purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Moto Casino.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
It was a really traumatic experience, and like he was talking to us about it, and I was thinking how you were probably going into work, or like even just something silly like filling up your car with petrol. Okay, you walk into
I'll tell you a situation. The next day, I had a haircut, and I had a haircut pre-booked for that day. I wanted a nice haircut because Faye always likes to want to get a haircut, so I'll do that. And it was at, I think it was at 10 a.m. and I've been for the same barber for like 11 years. And I leave the hospice at 1 a.m. I get back home at about 2:30. And then I'm off to get a haircut at 10. And I'm just like in absolute autopilot mode. And I'm just like, I'm walking through town and I'm like, no one fucking knows. No one knows. And like, if one person asked me right now, like, how's Faye doing? I'm just going to absolutely just lose it and just break down. And I remember going in there, and like, my barber was the first person I saw after my wife died, and just talking to him about it. And I've been getting my hair cut by him for like 15 years, so he knows me really well. But it's really weird, like you're saying, that normal day-to-day stuff, and just like, people don't know. Mm. And in that moment, after I told him, I left that that appointment, I sat in my car and I filmed the video announcing she died, because I was like, I just need people to know, because if someone comes up to me and is like, how's Faye? I haven't broke down yet, but I might. And I just had to like protect myself in that way and make the video. And there's a clip from that video in the video I posted the other day. Yeah, it's really, really alien sort of thing.
Does it, you kind of forget that the world keeps moving.
Yeah.
And it's really kind of bleak to think about, because there's so much inhumane shit going on in the world, particularly right now.
Yeah.
And you look at it and go, for those people, their life has been completely shattered.
Mm.
But for us over here, everything's normal.
Yeah.
And in your situation, you just lost the love of your life. And then you walk down High Street, you see people going into Poundland.
Like
they're literally just doing their daily
business. And they're doing like Christmas shopping, like buying for their partners. I'm like,
mate, yeah. I don't know why. I've always just sort of thought that must be the most mental part of it. Like, not obviously the whole situation's awful,
I think you kind of feel invisible.
Yeah. A little
bit. Like, people can see you. I'm not a fucking idiot. But like, the amount that you're feeling, the pain you are feeling, the a million questions going through your head, no one can see that.
Yeah.
And it's just like the most controlling, overpowering thing ever. And it's, it's really such a weird time.
How have you coped the last 10 months? Because obviously you have been going through the grieving process. Yeah. What's that looked like for you?
So like before she died, we spoke so much about like what I want to do, what she wants me to do, so many things. And like going back to the videos, there's instructions and things like that, and like her wishes for me, which is so selfless of her to do, because that must have been really hard to record, but it's absolutely priceless to me now. And I refer back to it whenever I don't know. But for me, you know, just the whole thing made me realize life could just change just like that.
Mm.
And it's probably going to again at some point. I don't know when. I don't know what's going to happen, but something else will happen. And one day that click will be me. So until then, I want to just live the best fucking life possible. And for me now, that is traveling, seeing the world.
I
recently
that,
started like collabing with people, meeting up with people.
Yeah, I want to talk about your YouTube channel, because for me, I absolutely love what you're doing with that. I think it's incredible. And also, I love this whole... I've been through some tough shit, but I'm going to live my fucking life.
Yeah.
This whole energy you're giving off is incredible, and it will help so many young lads, not even just young lads, people that are going through shit in their life. How has that been? How's it been starting the YouTube channel?
Well, it's good. Like I say, I've had a YouTube channel for like a very, very long time, and there are hundreds of videos private on there that maybe one day I'll react to, because they're pretty embarrassing. But I love it. I absolutely love it. So like just getting my head like stuck into an idea and then going and doing it and then editing it. I love the whole process, and I love meeting up with people and having fun. So like I recently went away. I just got back from Portugal last night.
Mm-hmm.
I was with Rufus Rice for a couple of days. He invited me out.
By the way.
Yeah. Top shagger.
Genuinely, like Rufus, I mean this seriously, obviously working at the Fellas, like with him coming in, when he started his pod, we saw him all the time. I was like, this bloke is genuinely, like, he gives off his exterior online, a fucking top geezer.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, unbelievable.
He invited
bloke.
Me to come and stay at, like, his parents' house. He was like, do you want to do something? I was like, yeah, cool.
Sick.
And we had a great time. And then, like, the week before I went to, or 2 weeks before, I went to Slovenia with Greg, with Window Kid.
Unreal. Oh, what a boy Greg is, man.
What a fucking trip. There was just
I've had him on my podcast before.
Oh, really?
But it was like paywalled.
There's even like an I'm Just Bait post that's been going around.
Yeah, I've seen that.
They did like a whole article on our trip, how it is just that, you know, we've both got our own separate traumas.
Yeah.
But we just want to lads on though.
Yeah,
and
mate.
Just go and have fun. That's the thing for me. I have been through some shit, but I don't want to be known as the grief guy. I want to be known as the guy who has been through it, but just has fun and lives life. And I don't want people to come across my videos thinking, oh, fucking hell, I'm going to cry again. I ain't watching that. I want to be real, like a good balance of being real and funny, but touching on the really important stuff as well. Like,
sure.
like you said, the men's mental health or just mental health in general. I'm so passionate about that.
Yeah.
And I want to help like however I can.
And you are doing that. Like, I think But I don't think people realize this, but people that make long form YouTube content, and I've had people message me about like my training videos. Yep. And it's like, it's just me going about my life.
But they're very well done though.
Oh, thank you, man. Yeah, appreciate
good,
it.
Good production quality.
Yeah, thank you, bro. I'm just basically each week learning how to edit better. Yeah, that's man. What come how yeah, I'm doing man. It.
And you'll see like the progression as
yeah,
time goes on.
Yeah, exactly, bro. But it's more just like on a micro level.
Yeah.
You are part of someone's life in a way that, okay, maybe they whack you on when they're doing the washing.
Yeah,
maybe
yeah.
they put you on when they're eating their dinner. You're part of someone's life and you take that person out of their world
and great.
Into a new one.
Yeah.
And it's kind of this really cool parasocial thing. I do it all the time. I love watching, you know, vlogs like from yourself, from Greg. I just love that sort of thing where I can go and just put myself into someone else's life. And that's why I think, you know, the vlogging with these like cameras is so personal because you can take it anywhere and just be super like captivated by like what's going on. And it's like, it's wicked. It's
I used
so
to have
cool.
like a, when I used to vlog, I used to have like a big Canon DSLR camera with a Gobi tripod and the Rode mic.
Yeah.
And
everything. Casey Neistat.
Yeah. Yeah. I went for a face.
Yeah. Okay. The goat.
Them videos are privated and they all stay private. I thought I was Casey Neistat, but I just looked like I ate Casey Neistat. That's it. But these cameras, these like action cameras, it just is so personal because like, I'm stood there on the train today and I just whack it out. I'm just like drinking a monster. Like it's not invasive.
Yeah.
And it makes you feel like, we're boys, we've gone on the day out together and you're watching it back.
That's the thing. I almost feel like you have to have that relationship with your audience where they feel like they are part of your life.
Yeah.
It's super nice. It's a cool privileged position to be in.
It's the best place ever.
I want to talk about your trip to Slovenia with Greg. Obviously went to Lake Bled, which I've been to, by the way. It's the most beautiful place. Incredible.
Yeah.
You had a call from Robbie Williams.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that, man, because that, like, he didn't need to do that, just like chat to you on FaceTime.
That was amazing. So Greg and Robbie are good friends.
Yeah.
And like, I think Greg's done some vlogs with Robbie, like going to his shows. And we were just sitting there. I can't remember what we were doing.
That's, by the way, the like maddest like link up of a friendship ever, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's crazy. And we just sat there. And I think I mentioned Robbie or something. He was like, should I call him? I was like, yeah, if you want. Just like throwing it away, and he's actually started ringing. I hear Robbie Williams answer the phone. I'm laid down on the sofa, like eating fucking biscuits. I'm like sorting myself up. Like, right, mate, like, acting really like nonchalant about it. But in my head, I'm like, this is fucking crazy.
Like, this is Robbie Williams.
Yeah,
mate.
He turns the phone. He just gives me the phone. I'm like, I literally said, "Hello, Robbie Williams." That's what I said at first. I was like, I don't even know what to say.
Yeah.
But no, he was genuinely one of the soundest guys. He just was laid in his bed and just spoke to me and just gave me wisdom. He's been obviously through his own for his own things, and he just listened to me and he asked me questions about myself and how I'm dealing with things, and it was a really special moment.
Yeah.
And I'm glad it was like caught on camera. So like my mum is like a massive Robbie Williams fan, so she was like geeking out about it. But it was really special but really like unexpected as well.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's cool to see that how you're now using, as you said, you don't want to be known as just like the grieving guy. Like you want to be known as doing something.
Yeah, I want to be real, but I don't want to be bringing people down all the time. I want to push up.
Yeah, for sure. So what's the grieving, you mentioned what the grieving process has been like, but what has grief been for you? And how would you best describe your grieving process?
Yeah, grief is so different for everyone. I get hundreds or thousands of messages a week from people going through situations. And sometimes situations, I'm like, Jesus fucking Christ, like I had it easy. It's so different for everyone. I think grief for me has been like a loneliness that no amount of company can change. It's like I am lonely, but surrounded by people. The only person I want around me is the only person who can't be around me. That's been like looking for her in moments and waiting for her to call me a fucking twat because I'm doing something stupid or tell me off. That's been really hard. And I think the biggest thing for me about grief as well is like realizing how I am still stuck in that exact same moment where she died. I am still like in that hospice. The world keeps on moving. And everything just keeps going, but I'm still there. And
is your goal to get out of that hospice?
I don't know, because so my whole life I've never dreamed when I go to sleep, ever.
Really?
I just don't dream.
Or you would have dreamed, but you won't remember it when you wake up.
Yeah, well, yeah, I've never had a dream that I like remember, yeah, ever. And the first day I had a dream was the day like Faye died. Like, sounds like really weird, but I dream now and I only dream about her. And I have like, I've never experienced like one before, but it's like a lucid dream where I'm like aware of my surroundings and I am in that hospice room and I'm still there and she is still there and I am sat there. And it's like, I don't know. I want to escape it, but at the same time, that grief is like all I have left as well. So I think I'll always like latch onto it a bit and always sort of like keep a bit of it for me.
Do you think people sometimes, like you say, that's all you've got left of, yeah, of like her, I guess. Yeah. Do you think sometimes like people have this whole energy of like you know, in life to get over something, you've got to move on.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't necessarily feel like that's the healthiest way because you kind of then lose that person that meant so much to you almost.
Yeah, because, yeah, I mean, like I say, it is, that grief is the only emotion, it is the most late current or latest emotion I have directly linked to her. Like, she won't bring me new happiness. I have the happiness from before, but that is the most like recent feeling I have to her. So I'll always hold on like a bit of it, but I think also it's got me as well. So even if I try to completely,
yeah,
get rid of it, like, yeah, like death's got her and grief has got me.
Yeah, I saw a TikTok from you, bro, that was like super, it was interesting because I kind of completely saw the point that you were trying to make, and you described grief as almost ordering something off Shein.
Yeah.
Would you explain that one?
Yeah, so I don't know, I was just trying to come up with a weird way to say it, but then I said it and I was like, oh, this actually makes sense.
It made so much
like
sense.
Grief is like ordering something from Shein and then you just forget about it, but then on like a random Tuesday, there's a knock at the door and it's here. And that is how it is. I think it's also another one. Grief is like glitter. You hoover it up, all that you can see, and then the next day you move a cushion or something like that and it's still there and there's more of it. Mm. And it never completely fully goes away, but you get used to it. It's almost like having a rock in your pocket. The rock doesn't get lighter, but you just get used to having that rock there. And you get used to the weight of it. It doesn't get easier with time. I think you improve with time.
Yeah. What have you found to be the best coping mechanisms for it? Like when you have these moments, as you said, like the Shein parcel turns up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What are you doing in
There's
that
a
moment?
Knock at the door.
Yeah.
I said it before, but the whole grief thing is so unique. But for me, what it was is, so like some people like being around people, like to talk. Some people like to be alone and to not talk. And I think for me, it was having my moments alone and then like allowing myself to be fucking angry and allowing myself to be like annoyed or sad or whatever. Or for me, a great thing I love is being with my dog.
Yeah.
Like my dog Dora, mine a Faye's dog.
I love that, by the way.
She brings me a lot of joy. She's a little mini sausage dog.
Yeah.
She's fucking character, mate. Honestly.
Mate, sausage dogs are characters.
Yeah. Faye rescued her. When Faye found out she had cancer, she wanted like a support animal. So Faye rescued her from like a puppy farm and they used Dora to have like loads and loads of litters while she was really young. So Faye rescued her and she became like Faye's therapy dog and used to just sit on her lap when she'd come back from chemo or things like that. And luckily the hospice let us take her in. So Dora stayed on Faye's lap until she passed away, which was really nice.
I think dogs, honestly, like I'm so biased because I've just loved dogs.
I do too, yeah.
I think I love dogs more than humans, to be honest. And our dog Lola is like Izzy's best mate.
Yeah.
And like, obviously, like,
you get jealous.
Do I get jealous? Yes.
Yeah, I used to get so
jealous.
Because,
mate, this fucking dog, I adore my dog so much. Oh, she'll be sat on my lap. Izzy will come sit down. And she fucks off, mate. She's gone. She's with
so
Izzy.
So irrelevant in that
I know,
moment.
I'm so irrelevant.
It used to happen to me. Like, I come in and I'd be like, you all right, Dora? Whatever. And Faye's like, no, she's staying with me. And I'll like get treats and everything. She just does not give a shit about me. Or like, Faye would be in a mood with me and then she'd go down and like be playing with Dora or happy. I'd be like, What the fuck?
Oh no, sometimes they use the dog to talk nasty about you.
Yeah.
Izzy will speak to Lola and go, oh no, he's a bellend, isn't he?
Yeah.
I was like, why are you bringing her into it?
So that little thing shits on the floor. I don't.
Oh man, no, they're brilliant though.
They are.
How old's Dora then?
Five.
Same age as my dog.
Yeah, we got her when she was two. She's literally like this big. She's tiny.
Bless.
Pain in my arse though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does she go to your parents much or?
She stays with Faye's mum quite a lot because me and Faye moved out that sort of way so Faye could be close to her family towards the end of her life. Now I'm out there, but they all love having Dora because Dora's like, it's like Faye sort of reincarnated. That dog is just, was Faye's everything. So it's really nice to have her about.
Yeah, that's a really lovely thing to have.
Yeah.
Do you believe in reincarnation and, you know, something coming back in another form? No, not into all of that?
No, you know what? I'm not like religious in any sort. I don't believe in nothing like at all. But I sort of do for Faye, which is like, there'll be some religious people being like, you can't do that, mate. You're either
in or
you're
out. Choose,
yeah.
That.
But no, I like to think that she's like somewhere, I don't know, having fun, drinking Prosecco, playing with dogs and horses, the stuff she likes.
Yeah.
Rather than just like, it's just nothing.
Yeah.
But like, apart from that, no. I'm not big on anything. If I think about dying, it like hurts my chest. Like I can't imagine what's next.
Yeah. No, that's fair enough.
But like, you only know you're asleep once you've woken up.
So true.
So how are you going to know you're fucking dead?
So true. I've never thought of it like that.
Yeah. You don't know you've been asleep until you wake up.
So what happens when you pass away then? You just think nothing.
Yeah. But how are you going to know it's nothing?
But you never know it's... Yeah. It's kind of mad, isn't it? Like,
what
how
a question.
You won't know
the
impact you going has had on someone's life.
I hope it's big. Mine. I hope people care.
I think they'll care, mate. I have an inkling. I wanted to quickly ask you about your little bean.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about this story?
Bit of context, it's a teddy.
Yeah, it's a... pause. Yeah. The teddy.
Yeah, yeah.
Stuffed bean.
Jelly cat.
It's a jelly cat, exactly.
So
the soft toy brands are available. Stupid shit. Right, yeah. Explain your story, sorry, mate.
Yeah, so Faye used to collect these little things called jelly cats.
Yep.
Obsessed. Hundreds and hundreds of pounds were spent on these things.
Your money or hers?
80-20, mine. Our wedding day, I bought her one that's like a wedding cake. It was like 50 quid. It's just a fucking teddy. But if you told her it's a teddy, she'd be like, listen here, you fucking prick.
It's a collectible.
It's a fucking collectible item. Give it 20 years, see how much this will be worth. She had one called Bean, which Bean was just like, so like simple and stupid that it was just her favourite. And she used to take Bean everywhere. So, like I said, when we went to Mexico, she took it with us. And she used to take it to chemo as well. And she used to have, when you have chemo, you've got like this machine that's sort of like the drip and it pumps it in. And it's got like a box on the middle, and Bean used to always sit there for every chemo session. And I was holding it at Faye's funeral while I did my speech. That speech went like crazy viral, like 20 something million fucking views on my TikTok alone. So many people are like, oh, he's holding Peanut. I'm like, listen, fucking here, this is not Peanut, this is Bean. Faye would have absolutely kicked off. But yeah, now I take Bean with me everywhere. Every time I go to a new country, and I've done quite a few this year, I always take him with me and get a picture of it. There is an Instagram account for Bean that Faye used to run.
Oh, no.
And I've always thought, do I just like...
Bring it back.
Bring it back and make it public. And so maybe I do. I don't know. But I fucking hate when like parents make like an Instagram for a kid or like for a dog or a teddy and they speak in like third person or like first person. So it's like, oh, mummy and daddy took me to the shop today.
It's not a bit of me. I think Izzy made a dog Instagram back like when we first got Lola. I've played no part in it, mate.
No, I think a dog Instagram is fine.
I don't know.
I'm taking Dora out for a walk today, not from the point of view of Dora. So you've got no fucking thumbs. How have you typed this?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mum took me to the park today. I went for a shit. Right. How the fuck did you even write that down?
That's class, though. No. I wouldn't go for a shit.
No,
they're pissed off at me. I'm in the doghouse, quite literally. Gosh. Nah. So when you were in Slovenia, Greg put a story up of being, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. And that kind of like made me like emotional because like me and Greg had like bonded so well, like so quickly, and all the comments are like, we've known each other for years, but we haven't. I think Greg commented some hearts on my announcement of Fade Iron video. And some after, and we DM'd every now and then, but like a week before Slovenia, I just DM'd him. I'm like, mate, I'm doing a fucking fundraiser. Do you want to come on? He's like, yeah. Do you want to go on holiday as well? Yeah. Cool. But literally we just got on so, so well. And yeah, we were having dinner and I told him about Bean and the story and I showed him a picture that I've shared before. I'll send it to you if you want to put it on screen or anything, but it's of Faye having chemo with Bean sat there with her, and he's like started crying. He got like emotional. Oh, and I just like, it just hit me that made him emotional. I think it would make most people emotional to see someone who's died like that, but I just got like this feeling like this guy actually fucking gives a fuck.
He does.
He
yeah.
really cares. And it like, in that moment, I was like, I fucking love this guy. And then like, I walked off to the car. He went to the toilet and I was just like crying. So I was just like, he was like, oh, can I get a picture of it? I was like, yeah, of course you can. And he put it on his story and it's like, I didn't give a fuck that it's gone in his story so like I get followers on, nothing like that. But it was just like, he's heard about this and he's willing to share like and put out some emotion about someone he doesn't even know because he likes me and he cares about me.
Yeah.
And it just hit me and I was just like, what the fuck, man? Yeah. How genuinely pure-hearted and kind. And there's so many people I could be friends with online, but the people I want to be friends with are people like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And
already, he's coming on Wednesday. We've got other stuff happening like every month of the year. We'll be seeing each other. And he's like easily like my best friend that I've met
mm-hmm.
through anything so far.
Yeah, he's such a good bloke. I remember when I asked him to come on mine, he was like, mate, well up for it. And then we just like hung out afterwards, went, got kebab together, like just had chats. Damn. Like just a fucking top bloke. And yeah, I mean, I think when you're someone who's a good person, I do think it does shine through.
Yeah.
If you show yourself off like in a way that's authentic, and yeah. you're a good person, it shines through, man.
Yeah, and I think good people attract good people. I like to think I'm a good person, and I feel like, all right, depends.
Nah, of course you are, brother.
I feel like that just brings us together, and people, like the comments, like, best link up of the year, so many things like that. I'm absolutely honoured to be even described in that category with Greg.
Yeah, it's amazing, man. Final thing I really want to ask you, bro, is like, from everything you've learned from the last year and a half, what advice would you give to people that might be in the similar positions where you were a year ago?
What advice would I give to someone in my situation?
Well, it could be in the grief period. It could be maybe they've got the news that you had in the living room that time.
Okay. It's hard. I think the best thing I ever did was sorting out my priorities and thinking about what is important to me. And that for me was stopping going to the gym, stopping hanging out with my friends for hours on end, stopping playing PlayStation. That's what it was for me. But for other people, it would be different things because that took time away from Faye. And I knew that I would regret it if I didn't. I would say make the most of every single second and just appreciate it. You don't have to be doing something crazy. You don't have to be flying to New York or going to an expensive restaurant. Just being in each other's company is the thing you will miss the most. Mm. I don't give a shit about going on holiday with Faye or something like that. I literally just want to feel her presence again and I'll do anything for it. So whether you're sitting together in silence or sitting together talking, really, really, really like make the most of every moment. And even if the person you're thinking about when I'm saying this isn't ill, they don't need to be ill for you to act like this. It shouldn't need to take a life-changing decision for that to happen, but sometimes it does.
Yeah.
But I just say, take every, just appreciate everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think now, especially because I catch myself not being present at times, we live in a like a society where it's so easy to not be present.
Yeah, yeah.
And do you think that that's almost like a bit of a problem in terms of when, let's say, a situation like yours happens,
yeah.
and then it could be a case of it being quite sudden,
yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
you then have regret. What do you think is our sort of plan to not? To be more present as people, I guess.
Well, I don't know, because I like what I just said about being present and appreciating everything. It's easy to say, but sometimes you're not.
It's
and,
so
and,
easy and, to and, say,
and
man.
And that's human. Like, sometimes I'm not. Like, sometimes, I don't know, like, my mum will do something. I'm like, for fuck's sake, mum. And
yeah.
I'm like, oh, shit, I actually feel a bit bad for that.
Well, mate, it's just the same yeah. thing happens with me and my parents all the time. I'm like, I had a call with my dad, and it was about something a bit emotive, and... The day that it happened, I was like, I actually don't have the capacity to deal with it.
Yeah.
And I still sort of tried to half deal with it. And I dealt with it in a really fucking bad way.
Yeah.
And I didn't necessarily do anything mean or like say anything that would upset him.
Yeah.
But it was my mannerism and the way that I dealt with that phone call and kind of put myself across to him. And I was literally just like... day later or so, it was a day, it was the next morning, I had like such deep regret at the way I handled it.
Yeah.
And I called him a few days later and said, look, Dad, just wanted to firstly, want to chat with you, how you see how you are. But secondly, I want to just apologize the way I handled the situation.
Well, that's the thing, mate. You're fucking, you're human.
Yeah.
But the most important thing about the whole story is you acknowledged yourself.
Yeah.
That you should have done yeah. better. And you did steps to sort yeah. of like fix it. And I yeah. think that is everything.
Mm.
Because now even your dad will see it, like he understands you've got your own things going on, but the fact that you've fixed that, that's beautiful shit.
Yeah, it's so hard to like sometimes be reflective, but yeah, I always yeah. feel like, and you seem the sort of guy that's similar, like I'm so aware of my own behaviors
yeah,
and
yeah, yeah.
how I can sometimes yeah. do things. And yeah. I think if you're someone that's maybe not aware of your own behaviors, I think it's important to maybe just have that sort of inward look and go.
100%. No one can do it all the time. No. But just making an effort to do it, it's not going to benefit anyone but yourself.
No.
But you will thank yourself if you do it, 100%.
Do you have that belief of, like you said earlier, you don't really have much of a kind of belief of, you know, any, I guess, religion or, yeah. you know, higher being as such.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like good things happen to good people, and even if bad things happen to those good people, there is something later down the line for them that will trump that bad thing?
I think I do. I think good things happen to good people, but also shit things happen to good people. I've never thought about that. That's a fucking good question.
Because like I think about how there are objectively bad people in this world, like
yeah.
categorically yeah. bad people. Yeah. And you might not hear of bad things that have happened to them
yeah.
or are going to happen to them. But is it possible for a horrific person to go through life without a bad thing happening to them? And they just go about their abhorrent ways. That's what I'm saying. It's so...
Yeah, I don't know.
Because there's someone like yourself going through what you've been through, it just pisses me off.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you
yeah.
know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Man, I've never thought about that. That's probably yeah. like stumped my brain.
Yeah. Well, that's why it's genuinely one of those things I think about often, because I'm like, sometimes I have interactions with people and go, I don't know if you're a good person.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, that's just me being.
I think it's very easy to tell if someone's a good person.
So easy.
Not. So quick.
So easy.
Yeah, yeah. You can just tell.
Yeah.
Straight away.
Look, brother, I'm so, so grateful for you coming on and sharing your story.
No, thank you for having me on. It's my first ever podcast.
Mate, I'm honoured that I'm your first
myself
pod.
I'm beatboxing now, apparently. At
bro,
the start, I was shitting myself,
I say,
but then kind of just
you,
forgot.
I shit myself for every pod. Like,
yeah.
I had two coffees, so yeah, I got to. But I genuinely, like, so nervous for any pod. But look, if this is your first time listening to Emotional Intelligence, thank you so much. It's been great to share Marshall's story. And obviously, let's be honest, everyone here who's watching probably knows your story, and they are all captivated by everything you're doing. And I'm proud of you, man. The first time I met you is today, but I'm fucking proud of you. It's great to see a good man like you doing good things and just being an inspiration to so many people. So thank you, bro.
It makes me blush. Both sets of cheeks.
Right, let everyone know where they can find you, and obviously about the fundraiser as well.
Well, yeah, obviously we're doing this recording before the fundraiser happens, but it will be out after it's done. So hopefully I finished it. Hopefully I completed it. It will be live on YouTube and TikTok, and there will be like a summary vlog coming a few days later. Amazing. For everyone that missed it. It's going to be a big challenge, but it takes a big character.
Is there anything you'd like me to bring you for the challenge? Is there anything you think you'll be craving at 10 a.m. on Thursday?
Probably a new set of fucking legs. No. Tell you what, a white monster.
Yeah? White monster. That sounds good. Yeah. Sounds good. They are banging a white monster. Look, Marshall, thanks so much for coming on.
No,
Big Pappy.
You.
It's been a pleasure to share the mics with you, bro.
Yeah, thank you, brother.
Look, you're an inspiration. And obviously all Marshall's links will be below. Thank you so much for watching, listening, wherever you get your podcast. Make sure you're subscribed onto YouTube. If you're not subscribed, there'll be new podcasts every single Thursday, both on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you listen, wherever you watch. And thank you so much for tuning in. And it's been a pleasure. Take care.
If you're not subscribed, sort your fucking life out.
Yeah, you heard the man. Moto Casino.
Social Casino. Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus. Moto Casino. America's social casino. Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.